بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect his Muslim nation from whatever he feared for this nation. With the help of Allah, we have been going over our history from the beginning. And last time, we talked about a great Prophet of Allah, one of the best five messengers of Ulul Azm, Prophet Musa, Moses, alayhi salam. We mentioned that he was from the children of Israel, Banu Israel, that the ruler of Egypt at that time, the Pharaoh, was a tyrant who saw a dream that was interpreted that someone from the children of Israel will take over his rulership. And as a result, the Pharaoh decided to kill any newborn from among the Israelites. And Musa happens to be born on the year of killing babies, but his mother was inspired to put him in a basket and let his body float in the Nile River. And one time, mistakenly, the basket ran away from the mother, and it got to the palace of the Pharaoh, where his wife, the Pharaoh's wife, Asiya, alayha salam, convinced her husband, the Pharaoh, not to kill the baby and to keep him as a son to benefit from having him around. One time, Pharaoh was playing with Moses, and Musa alayhi salam pulled the beard of the Pharaoh, which made him angry. He decided to have him killed. But Asiya said, let's offer the baby a date and a burning coal. If he chose the burning coal, then he doesn't know what he was doing. And Moses did take the burning coal. It affected his tongue. It burnt it, but not to the extent to make his words ununderstood. So the burning of his tongue did not prevent the speech of Moses from being clear. And also we are told in Al-Quran that Musa alayhi salam made a dua, supplicated to Allah to cure him from that small burn, and then he was cured. We mentioned that Moses alayhi salam grew up in the Pharaoh's palace, and he was treated as if he was the son of Pharaoh. So he could ride with him whenever he wanted. He has the power in the palace and so on. And he was trying through his ways to relieve the Israelites from the injustice done to them by the Egyptians. One time, he saw an Israelite with an Egyptian fighting, and he punched the Egyptian and he died. On the following day, he found the same Israelite fighting with someone else or about to fight with someone else. And he wanted to help him again, but he reminded him that he is causing trouble. And when he moved forward to help him, the Israelite thought that Moses was going to hurt him, not the Egyptian. And then he told him, are you going to kill me today just like you killed someone else before or yesterday? And because of that statement, the Egyptian heard it and went and spread the news that it was Moses who killed the Egyptian the previous day. This is how far we got last week. Today, inshallah, or tonight, we will continue from this point on. The author, may Allah have mercy on her, said, Prophet Moses left or leaves Egypt. So when the news of Moses' strength and the resulting accidental killing reached the Pharaoh, he became scared. He remembered his dream long time ago, and he feared that it was Moses, the one who would become that danger to his kingdom. He would be the one that the dream interpreted as the Israelite who will take over his reign. So he wanted to have Moses killed. A man went to Prophet Musa alayhi salam and informed him of the Pharaoh's plan. He came and told him that the people are planning to kill you. So Prophet Musa alayhi salam left the area, his home in Egypt, and he avoided the main roads that people usually take, and he ended up covering a very long distance. He did not carry any food with him, but he was eating whatever he finds on his way. He traveled until, remember, he was in Egypt. He traveled until he reached an area called Madian, the city of Prophet Shu'aib, alayhi salatu wassalam. And Madian at that time was a safe place because it was not within the domain of Pharaoh's rulership. So it was beyond his domain. And remember, we said Madian is a city which is north of Al-Madinah, and it is close to the Gulf of Al-Aqaba, close to the lake that the people of Lot used to live around, which is known nowadays as the Dead Sea. So Madian was close to that area. So it's in Palestine. When Moses reached Madian, this area, he came upon some water where the animals of the city were watered. So he came to a body of water, and people of that area bring their animals and they water them there. They give them water, and of course they use it themselves. While he was there standing, he saw a group of people watering their livestock. Behind this group, Moses spotted two women with their own animals. And these women were standing aside waiting for the rest of the people to finish so that they could water their own animals. So they were just like shy to mingle with the men at the water. So Moses, being a good man, stepped forward and volunteered to help them with that task, delighting them, of course. So they went home and told their father about Moses' good manners. Their father sent one of them, one of these two daughters, and her name was Safura, and she was sent by her father to invite Moses to stay with them, to reward him for the good deed that he did for these two women. Musa alayhi salam agreed, and although he did not know the way to the house of Shu'aib, of the father of these women, Moses walked in front of the woman who invited him, Safura, so that his eyes did not fall on the back of this woman. It means out of modesty and out of avoiding seeing the body of this woman, he walked ahead of her, and she would tell him to go right or left, for example, until they get home. And that's one of the manners that Muslim men usually do in the presence of women. So she stayed behind him, directing him where to go. Now, the father of these two women was named Shu'aib, and according to some of our scholars, he was the same prophet Shu'aib that we talked about before. Some other group of scholars, they say, no, this Shu'aib was a different Shu'aib than the prophet alayhi salam. Now, the father, the Shu'aib, asked Musa alayhi salam about his story, why is he in his area? And Musa alayhi salam, of course, told him what happened with him. Then Shu'aib said, you're okay. He comforted Musa, telling him, do not be afraid. لا تخف نجوت من القوم الظالمين. That he told him, you are safe now from those unjust people. And then Shu'aib offered Musa a deal. He told him, if you work for me for 8 years, then I'll give you my daughter Safura in marriage. So in exchange of 8 years of service at my place, then at the end of the 8 years, I will give you my daughter Safura in marriage. And Musa alayhi salam chose to make it 10 years out of his generosity. Although the man said 8, Musa served 10, volunteering for more than what the deal was. And then for 10 years, Musa alayhi salam took care of Shu'aib's sheep, and then he married his daughter Safura. You should know that Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam said, مَا مِن نَبِيٍّ إِلَّا وَرَعَ الْغَنَمِ. It means there is no prophet but worked as a shepherd. Every prophet of Allah was a shepherd, up and including Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. They, of course, these great prophets, took care of sheep in preparation for their role of being prophets, learning to manage people compassionately and patiently. It means the prophets will be the leaders of people, and people need leaders who are compassionate, patient with them, take care of them, merciful to them. And when a person works with the sheep, they are weak animals, they need a lot of care, they need a lot of patience, you need to go after them and collect them to protect them from wolves and other dangers. So the prophets alayhim salatu wassalam, when they worked as a shepherd, that was a preparation for them after become prophets. Now, the author said, the staff of Moses. The author said, the staff of Moses. It is said that Angel Gabriel, gave Prophet Moses a staff, a stick. And it's also said that Prophet Shu'aib was the one who gave Moses this staff. So there are different opinions about the source of this staff. The staff was originally brought down from paradise with Prophet Adam. And there is a fascinating, amount of facts about this staff. This staff is cited in Al-Quran, means it's mentioned in Al-Quran in more than one place. One of them is verse 18 of Surah Taha, قال وما تلك بيمينك يا موسى قال هي عصاي أتوكأ عليها وأهش بها على غنمي ولي فيها مآرب أخرى. So in this verse 18 of Surah Taha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that when Moses was asked about the staff, he replied, "This is my staff. I lean on it. I beat the leaves with it, leaves of the trees, to make them fall as food for my sheep. And I use it for other purposes as well." So this is what's mentioned in Al-Quran about the staff. And then there are other facts about it, that the staff was very long, 15 feet long. It was reported that if a beast tried to attack Prophet Moses, the staff would drive the animal away on its own. The staff would drive scorpions away from Moses as well. Now, miraculously, the staff used to stride, walk means, along with Prophet Moses and converse with him, keep him company. So it would walk with him as he was walking and talk to him in his trips. Also, it's mentioned that the staff had a fork, two prongs, upon which Moses alayhi salam could hang his bow and arrows. At night, these two prongs of the fork would light up like candles. If Moses wanted water, the forked end would turn into a bucket, and then Moses could lower it into a well for water. If there was no well to get water, Moses could plunge it into the ground, and water would flow out from under the ground. When Moses removed the staff from the ground, the water would stop flowing. Also, it is said that when Moses wanted a shade, he would plunge it into the ground, and the prongs of the forked would extend. Then Moses would hang his clothes or cloak on the prongs, and that made a shade. Also, it is said that Moses, if he wanted some fruits, also Musa alayhi salam would plunge it into the ground, and the fruits would grow on it, and then he would eat from those fruits. Of course, all of these are signs of the support of Allah to his prophet Moses, those miracles happening with Prophet Musa as they happen with other prophets, alayhim salatu wassalam. Now, the author said, Prophet Moses heard the eternal speech of Allah. After completing 10 years of work for Shu'aib, Musa alayhi salam took his family, his wife, and left Madian in the cold of winter. So he was in Palestine, so he moved out of Madian and left when it was winter and cold. He wanted, Musa alayhi salam, wanted to go back to Egypt to visit his mother, his sister, and his brother Harun alayhi salam. Remember, he left them for 10 years, so he wanted to go back to them. When Prophet Musa alayhi salam reached a valley called Tuwa, he stopped and set up camp for the night. Then he left his family in a tent and went to make a fire. You know how people collect logs and then they have supposedly a stone that they rub to start a fire. So Musa alayhi salam took out the instrument that used to spark fire, and he tried many times. After several unsuccessful attempts to start fire, Musa left it and looked around and Then he saw the signs of a fire in a certain direction. So he proceeded towards that spot. He noticed that the fire that is there was fire without any smoke. And while he was in that area, next to the fire, he heard a sound calling from the right side of the valley, saying that he, the person who is fetching the fire, is a blessed one. Means he heard the sound saying something about him, about Musa, that you are a blessed person. And that those who are around the fire, around this area, are also blessed. And then who are around the fire, there were angels around the fire. So they are also blessed creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he heard the sound saying that. It's mentioned in Al-Quran and in the Hadith. So when this happened, means when Musa heard that sound, then Musa alayhi salam was enabled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hear the kalam of Allah, the speech of Allah. And we need to make it clear from the beginning that our speech as humans consists of letters, A, B, or Alif, Ba, consists of sounds. We apply some pressure, the air comes out of our, you know, lungs, passes through our vocal cords, through our mouth, tongues, and so on, lips, and then we come out with words. And these words sometimes are in Arabic, and sometimes in English, and sometimes in other languages. So this is our speech. It consists of letters and words, sentences that belong to a certain language. Our speech starts at some point in time, and it ends at some other point in time. Our words come in successive waves. So we speak two words at a time, three words at a time, or more sometimes. So our speech has a beginning and has an end. When we refer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being attributed with kalam, which is translated as speech in English, then we should know that the speech of Allah, just like all the attributes of Allah, does not have a beginning and does not have an end. And the speech of Allah, just like all the attributes of Allah, does not resemble those, the attribute of the creation. So the knowledge of Allah is different from the knowledge of the creation. The power of Allah is different from the power of the creation, whether those creation are humans or jinn or angels. So the reality of Allah, the self of Allah, is different from the realities and the selves of the creation. Similarly, since the attribute of Allah, al-kalam, is one of the attributes of Allah, then it is different from the kalam, the speech of His creation. Hence, it does not consist of letters or words or sounds. It's not a language, Arabic or Syriac or Hebrew or English or any other language that the people speak. So when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled Musa alayhi salam to hear his kalam, to hear the kalam of Allah, we have in mind that Musa alayhi salam heard this kalam that is different from the speech of the creation and understood what is being told. He heard and he understood what he heard. So it is different from the speech of the creation. Now, some of us may not be able to, you know, grasp it, just believe in it as such, and inshallah in another class we'll talk about its details. But we had to mention that basic information so that, inshallah, when we tell it to our children or we tell it to someone else that Musa alayhi salam heard the speech of Allah, then we just explain that it is different from the speech of the creation. Allah said in Al-Quran in Surah An-Nisa, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. It means that without a doubt, Allah spoke to Musa. So, and the scholars said that Musa heard the kalam of Allah. Musa did not hear it through a medium, as some people claim, that Musa heard the kalam of Allah through a tree. This is not what happened. So, inshallah, in another situation, we'll talk about this issue in more detail. So, Musa alayhi salam was told to take off his shoes. He was in that area that's called the Valley of Tuwa. He was told that he himself was blessed, and that whoever is around that fire in that area was blessed, the angels. And he was told, اخلعن عليك, means take off your shoes. And the scholars mentioned that the reason that he was told to take off his shoes, because his shoes were made of the skin of a donkey. And it was untanned. And this makes the leather itself najas, filthy. And of course, since he is in a blessed area, it's not proper for him to be wearing a najas, filthy material. So he was ordered to take off his shoes. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Prophet Musa alayhi salam to throw his staff. So he had his staff with his right hand. Remember, he said, this is my staff that I use for, to lead the sheep, for example, to drop the leaves of the trees for them, and I use it for other purposes. So he was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to throw the staff to the ground. And Musa alayhi salam followed the order. He cast it down, and as soon as it touched the ground, it turned into a giant snake. فَإِذَا هِيَ حَيَّةٌ تَسْعَى, that it became a giant snake. And the snake had a mane, behind the neck, like a horse, means big, and was extremely large. It is said that its mouth, when it was open, it was 75 feet wide. It was 70 feet wide. Now, of course, Prophet Musa alayhi salam witnessed this creature swallowing everything in its way. It means it moved, and with wide open mouth, it was swallowing whatever is in its way, the trees, rocks, everything that it could swallow. And Prophet Musa heard the snake crunching these things after swallowing them. So that shows the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of Musa alayhi salam. That's one display of the power of Allah. Now, when this happened, it happened suddenly. Means he was holding a stick. He throws it, and then it turns into a giant snake doing these wonderful things. So Prophet Musa was surprised, taken by surprise. And the natural fear in his heart showed up. Okay? If you are the bravest person, and then something surprises you, you get started a little bit. So this is natural. A human would do that. So when he got this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when that fear came to his heart, Allah revealed to him not to be afraid. And instead, in order to strengthen his heart, Allah ordered him to put his hand, means for Moses, to put his hand, the hand of Moses, in that mouth that is very wide of that snake. And once Musa put his hand there, the serpent, the snake, turned back into a staff. So it's a scene that is very intense. But Musa alayhi salam, out of his certainty, his belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his obedience to Allah, he did exactly what he was told. He cast the staff into the ground. It turned into snake. That natural fear came out. But then he was told to put his hand into the big mouth of that snake, and it turned back into a staff as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed. Now, in addition to this marvelous thing, Allah ordered Musa alayhi salam to put his hand into the opening of his shirt. And that's mentioned in Surah Al-Qasas. أسلك يدك في جيبك تخرج بيضاء من غير سوء. So he put his hand into the opening of his shirt, and Musa took it out. And now when the hand came out, it was shining white magnificently like glistening snow. And it was not patchy like a person with leprosy. It was white without being, you know, repelling. It was white like snow, attractive. And then Musa alayhi salam put his hand back into his shirt and took it out again. And then it gained its own color. And Musa alayhi salam was a swarthy person. Means he had a fair complexion. He wasn't very white. He was little bit dark. And so when he took his hand out of his shirt again, it became swarthy as it was before it was put the first time. So these were two miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equipped Prophet Musa alayhi salam. And he ordered him, he said, those are two miracles for you, to go and confront the Pharaoh of Egypt and those who are following him. Those should be two things that will be supporting your claim of prophethood when you met with the Pharaoh of Egypt. So Allah ordered Musa alayhi salam to talk to the Pharaoh and to call him to Islam. And those things are mentioned in various parts of the Quran, in Surah An-Nazi'at, in Surah Taha, Al-Qasas, Al-Shu'ara, different surahs of Al-Quran. And Musa alayhi salam, of course, he had what left the area after he killed one of them. So it means they are after him, and he would expect that if they caught him, they would kill him. So Prophet Musa alayhi salam asked Allah to protect him, to protect Musa, from being slaughtered by Pharaoh and his, of course, cohorts. He requested Musa alayhi salam that he would be supported by having his brother Harun, Aaron, come with him. So you have two fine men that will be together going to Pharaoh to call him to Islam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled the request of Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. Now, Musa alayhi salam, we said he left Madian and he was on his way to Egypt, and this incident of the turning the staff into a giant, you know, into a giant snake took place, and Musa alayhi salam heard the kalam of Allah. So then, of course, he went back to his family, and then they continued on their way to Egypt, where that unjust Pharaoh was ruling. And they arrived there at night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Harun, Moses' brother, a prophet, as Musa desired, and revealed to him, Allah revealed to Harun, Aaron, that Musa had arrived. So through revelation, Harun knew that his brother had arrived to Egypt. Then Harun went out, of course, to receive his brother, Musa alayhi salam. And after this joyful reunion, they proceeded to do their job, which is to go to Pharaoh. And they instructed the man at the gate to tell Pharaoh, tell him that we are the Lord of the world's messengers. Inna Rasula Rabbil Alameen. We are the messengers of the Lord of the worlds. Means we are the messengers of Allah. Tell you Pharaoh, that's who we are. Of course, when the Pharaoh heard that, out of curiosity, he wanted to know who they are. Because how could some people dare to face Pharaoh, who claimed himself to be God, just come at his gate and say, oh, we are the messengers of God. So he was curious about it. So he gave permission to let them in. So when Musa alayhi salam and his brother Harun entered, Musa immediately declared confidently, he said, I am the messenger of the Lord of the worlds. I am the Lord of the world's messenger. Ana Rasulu Rabbil Alameen. When Pharaoh looked at him, he recognized him, although it's 10 years, but still, because he grew up in his palace for a while, so he recognized him, and he told Musa, weren't you raised with us here? You stayed with us for years, and then you killed someone, and then you ran away. Didn't you do this? Musa replied, I went away, means I left the area, when I feared you would kill me, of course, unjustly. And Allah blessed me with the status of prophethood. He made me a prophet and a messenger. Allah, who is the Lord of the worlds, has sent me to you. No one is God but Him. And I am the messenger of Allah. I come with the truth. So all of that was, you know, said by Prophet Musa to this Pharaoh. Pharaoh thought that if he said, I raised you, then somehow Musa will just say, okay, I'm not going to say anything. You know how some people get bribed? You give them some food or something, then they're shy to face you, even if you're wrong. So maybe Pharaoh thought that by saying that Musa will be on the defensive. But Musa alayhi salam came with a mission. He's to call Pharaoh and his people to Islam. So he told him, I'm the messenger of Allah. No one deserves to be worshipped except Allah. And I came with the truth. So the Pharaoh retorted, means he responded to Musa. He said, you lie. He considered Musa as a liar. He said, no one except the great Pharaoh of Egypt is the Lord of the world. So he considered himself God. You must be out of your mind to dare to say otherwise. If you disobey me, I will throw you into prison. The Pharaoh requested a miracle to stand as a proof that Musa was right. So he was like challenging Musa, show me something that you claim that you're a prophet. Show me something that shows you're, you know, saying the truth. So Musa alayhi salam cast his staff. And immediately, of course, it turned into that great snake again. And it was so big that when it opened its mouth, it reached the ceiling of the Pharaoh's palace. The Pharaoh, of course, was taken by surprise. he was greatly scared that he wet his pants. You should say urinated in his clothes, but you know the modern way of saying it. Then Prophet Musa alayhi salam put his hand into the opening of his shirt, and then what happened? The hand came out shining as snow, as it did when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed to Musa that miracle before. And then Musa and Harun advised Pharaoh in a very nice manner, softly. However, the Pharaoh did not believe. He refused to become Muslim. Rather, the Pharaoh said Musa was a sorcerer. He called Musa Sahir. And of course, during those times, Egypt was famous with sorcery, with magic, with witchcraft, if you want. And the Pharaoh ordered that all the magicians to be gathered around him. They were brought from all the areas of Egypt. He called for them, he summoned them. So they came. Now the number was a large number, and the exact number is not known. Some people said that there were 70 magicians summoned, and some people say even 15,000 were summoned. Allah knows best. Inshallah, next week, we'll tell you what happened afterwards. Barakallahu feekum. Inshallah, next week, we'll continue with those marvelous, incidents or events that took with this great prophet. La ilaha illallah. لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم بارك الله